Welcome to the pre-show notes for the audio-described performance of Trouble in Mind by Alice Childress, directed by Ron O.J. Parson. My name is Kellen Henthorne, and I'm Timeline's Audience Services Manager. This performance will be described for you by Ashley Braggs. But first, in this pre-show program, you will hear directly from the cast about the visual elements of their characters in the play Trouble in Mind. We do hope you enjoy.
My name is Shariba Rivers, and I play Willetta Mayer in Trouble in Mind. You may have seen me a little bit of everywhere in Chicago. Most recently, I was at Governor State University in Red Summer for a couple of weekends. And then prior to that, I was at Paramount Theater in their production of Sweat. This is my Timeline Theater debut. I've done some small things with Timeline, like some readings and things, but none of that was full productions. My character, Willetta, is in her mid-50s. This is a play within a play, so she is the lead in the play within a play. Her relationship to other characters in the way she interacts with them is different depending upon who she's interacting with. So, for example, John, who is the newbie actor in the group, one of the newbie actors in the group, John is an African American male, and so my character tends to be the mentor type person to him. And so I'm always trying to show him the ropes, especially when I first meet him. I'm trying to tell him how to interact with the director, particularly because the director is white. I'm trying to show him how we do that as far as how we laugh at everything that the director says and that kind of thing. With regard to the other characters, other Black characters, I'm a little bit more familiar. I know both Millie and Sheldon, and so I am a little bit more playful with them. I go and hug Sheldon at the top when I hear him come in. Millie and I have this kind of back and forth banter with each other, but we're also conspirators when we're listening in on conversations and things like that. So we'll lean into each other. We'll give each other the side eye. We'll give each other these knowing glances of what's going on. I'm a little bit more formal when it comes to interacting with the white characters, a little bit more fake. So, for example, when I interact with Judy, one of the things that I do at the very beginning with her is, honey, what'd you say your name was? Oh, I know, I've seen you in pictures. Didn't you make some pictures? So I'm really, sugary with her, very smiley whenever she's saying something, even when I don't buy anything that she's selling. The same thing with Mr. Manners, the director, so I'm always kind of trying to schmooze the white characters in the play. I am 5'4". I am a brown-skinned African-American woman. Willetta has long hair, not super long, but like shoulder-length hair. She wears it straightened with some big curls at the end. And her hair is the same from first act to second act. As far as posture is concerned, Willetta pretty much has very straight, proper posture. She does droop her shoulders every now and then when she's feeling defeated. So second act, and she keeps trying to push with Mr. Manners, this idea of maybe we should make these changes. And he finally shuts her down with, do me a favor, don't start thinking. And she goes and sits down and kind of slumps in her chair. And I think that's probably the first time that you see Willetta looking defeated. I will say that Willetta takes up the stage and she just, she bursts through and, comes in and takes up space, particularly when she has her big explosive speech. There are big, long strides for as long as a 5'4" tall woman can take, but, you know, long, decisive strides across the stage and around the space. So I think one of the things that stands out about Willetta as far as her costuming is concerned is, in contrast to Millie, Millie is very extravagant. Willetta, as much as she takes over the stage, she's a little bit more understated as far as her dress is concerned, but she's still very well put together. In the first act, she wears a gorgeous purple suit, skirt, and jacket. The jacket has pockets that are very intricately detailed with kind of this pleated detail on them. And she wears one strand of pearls around her neck, and she wears pearl stud earring, and she wears a watch and then a small gold bracelet on her watch on the left hand, small gold bracelet on the right hand. And that jewelry does not change. In the second act, Willetta comes in a turquoise dress. It's belted. The sleeve comes to right about the elbow on that. I think that says a lot about Willetta's character. She's well put together. She's established in the industry. She doesn't have much else to prove until she does in the second act, where she you know, kind of lets it all out. Crucial props. Yes, definitely my script. My script is in my hand almost the entire play, both first and second act. I turn the pages a lot. I actually use it in my very explosive speech in the second act. I hit it against my hand several times, so you will hear the script being used. And then I do throw the script in the second act. I throw it at Mr. Manners. So it gets thrown at Mr. Manners and then it ends up all over the floor. So yeah, the script is very important to me. The voice changes a little bit depending upon, you know, who I'm talking to. So like I said, when I enter, I'm talking to Henry and it's "My Lord." And then when I'm talking to Millie, let's see, she's played every flower in the garden. Let's see, what was your name in that TV mess? Gardenia. She was Gardenia. Then talking to John is laugh at everything they say, makes them feel superior. So those are the different parts of Willetta.
I'm Charles Stransky. My friends call me Chuck. And I'm playing Henry the doorman in Trouble in Mind. And perhaps if you've been in the timeline before, a few years ago, you saw me in A Shayna Madel, where I played the patriarch. So I play Henry, who's the stage doorman. And he brags that he's 78 years old because he really doesn't look 78. And I like to think the same thing about myself. He thinks he looks 10 or 15 years younger. And he does look a bit younger. You know, his hair isn't totally gray, salt and pepperish, sort of like mine. And he's Irish. And so he has a bit of a brogue. And he adores Willetta Mayer. She was the star of a show that he, when he was an electrician, lighting electrician, he lit her in a show they did like 20 years ago. And so he's quite taken with her. He idolizes her. He's smitten by her, actually. And who he does not get along with is the director, Al Manners. They have a confrontation, and it comes very close to becoming physical. But Henry realizes, of course, that Al Manners is at least, in reality, 20 years younger than he is, maybe 25 or 30 years younger. So he stops short, but he's ready. He's almost ready to have a punch out with him. And he holds himself back and leaves the scene. Those are really the only real interactions with characters he has. He has a peripheral, superficial reaction with the other characters in that he goes in and out of several scenes. You know, at the top of the show, Henry opens the play. He's opening the stage up, turning the lights on, the work lights, and turning off the ghost light. And so when he enters, I don't know if the audience really knows this, because this is just what I do. I'm humming to myself "When Irish Eyes Are Smiling." It's sort of like, you know, he walks down the street. Well, he's 78 years old. He's a little bit unto himself. He's 5'10". His father was a hoofer in vaudeville, a dancer for those of you. And so Henry was also. You know, back then, in the early days of vaudeville, pre-World War I and such, they had family acts, the Cohan family, the Foys, and these were all Irish. They were Jewish, etc., other ethnicities too, but the Irish were, there's quite a few of them. And so I have in the backstory that this is what happened with Henry. But he never was quite as good as his father. But he loves the theater. He loves show business, as he says. I've been in show business 50 years. So he's been in it over 50 years. He's been in it all his life, like me. He's definitely Caucasian. Not, you know, that rugged outdoor looking type by any means at all. He wears glasses, wire-rimmed glasses. He dances. He'll do little dance steps here and there because it's there. It's in him. It's part of him. He grew up with it. It's part of when he expresses himself, he does a little prance. He can't at times help himself. You know, his energy is very up. He's got a lot of energy, particularly for a man his age. I love Henry's costume. I call it the Fred Mertz look. I don't know if you remember Fred Mertz from I Love Lucy. So to give you that idea, you know, so those high-waisted trousers with suspenders and he wears a vest. He always wears a tweed vest. He has a tweed cap. He only doffs when he does a little dance and says, tip your hat to the ladies. He always has a kerchief in his back pocket, and that's like hanging out. And he, like at one point, dusts off the chair for Willetta when she first comes in to make herself comfortable. Because he looks upon her as the star. And she's a big, in his universe, she's like the big star. So, like I said, Henry's Irish. Basically, he came from the West Coast of Ireland. He grew up there as a boy, and that's there. What happens with that group is you don't really lose the accent and such. There, his English is fine, you know. But when he talks, like for instance, he has a couple of speeches, and there's one he goes, you know, I'm descended from a great line, and the likes of him with his jelly donuts indeed is it? What does he know? Trampling upon a man's dignity. Me father was the greatest, most dignified man you ever seen, and he played vaudeville.
Hello, my name is Vincent Jordan, and I play the character John Nevins. This is my timeline debut, and I am so excited to be working with this company, doing this show, Trouble in Mind, because this show is very special and unique to me because it tickles your funny bone at some moments, and then it also pulls at your heartstrings on the next. So I really like the dynamics of this show. I love that there are different perspectives, there are different opinions, and there's just different ways of looking at things in this show, and it leaves so much conversation even afterwards. John stands 6'1". With an athletic build, light brown skin, strong posture, with a low haircut even all the way around. John's character is very smart, but very naive at times as he's trying to navigate his way through the acting world by taking advice from some of the elders and, you know, just trying to figure his way out as well. In the first half, John wears a blue suit with burgundy pinstripes with burgundy suspenders to match, with a light blue button-up shirt with the Italian cuff links. In the second half, John wears a gray suit with a white shirt and gray suspenders to match the suit. Also, the shirt is buttoned up with Italian cuff links, with brown shoes that are very polished and very nice. He wears cufflinks that are very nice with a watch, gold watch. One of my favorite lines in the play that is very short, but it's just very powerful, that John says, and he says, it is clear. Man, that line right there, it's very powerful to me.
Hi, my name is Kenneth Johnson, and I play the character Sheldon Forrester. Previous shows that I've worked with at Timeline Theater was My Kind of Town and Sunset Baby. I understudied in both of those shows, and I did get to perform. The last show I did before this show was at Definition Theater, which was last year, and the name of that play was America V 2.1, The Sad Demise and the Eventual Extinction of the American Negro. Sheldon is 59 years old. Relationship to the other characters, he's worked with half the cast, including the director. Sheldon is approximately 5'10". He's medium brown complexion. He's bald, and he has a pencil mustache, which is black and gray. Sheldon moves around. He's very graceful, has very good posture. But this being a play within a play, the character that Sheldon portrays is hunched over, and he tends to drag his feet. Wardrobe-wise, in Act 1, Sheldon comes on neatly dressed. He has a brown suit, brown vest, brown shoes. He has a gray hat and a dark gray coat, two scarves. In Act 2, Sheldon comes on. He has a dark gray suit, again, brown shoes, with a dark gray coat, and again, two scarves. Props-wise, Sheldon pretty much just has two props, that being the pencil, which he has, I would say, half the time in the play, but he always has his script. And when Sheldon enters, what usually gives it away that Sheldon is coming on is there's always some dialogue. He only comes on stage one time by himself, but the other time when he comes on, other times he comes on, he's coming on with other characters, and there's like dialogue going on as they enter the stage. Here's one of the lines from the play that won't give away anything as far as the outcome of the play. "Well, that's how country people do. But go on the beach today, what do you see? Bandanas. White folks wearing them stylish." Again, my name is Kenneth Johnson, and I'm playing the character Sheldon Forster.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tarina J. Bradshaw. I play Millie Davis. Previously, this past year, earlier in the year, mostly the spring, I was understudying at Court Theater, The Lady from the Sea, and I was previously on stage at Raven Theater. The show was called The Last Pair of Earlies. This is my second time at Timeline. I understudied back in 2019. Too heavy for your pocket. Millie Davis is definitely in her late 20s or super, super early 30s. She's not a vet in the theater. She's not super new, but she's not. She's pretty much where I'm at, in the middle of her career and growing as an actor. There are 9 characters altogether. So there are 8 other characters in which Millie is interacting with. But the ones that probably stand out the most would be Judy, who is one of the white characters in the space of like a black show. And there's an entitlement that Millie feels like she has. I think she's kind of like put her in this box of not earning her way into this theater space. So there's a lot of animosity that Millie has for Judy. And the interaction with Sheldon, it's like a love-hate relationship. Sheldon and Millie has worked together on several projects, and Millie think of Sheldon as this Tom character who likes to just appease white people at the expense of his own dignity. There's a really nice sisterly bond that Willetta and Millie has that's kind of adorable to watch. It's a little friendly banter, you know, calling each other too young for a role, too old for a role. There's like a mentor-mentee relationship and a friendship and a sisterly bond, because they understand they're in the same situation as far as being black actors in these white spaces and having to ignore these racist jabs that Manor has and tendencies that he has, and just they live the same position in the world at that time. So there's that bond. John, I think is important as well, because this is around the time that Emmett Till happened, and John, obviously smitten with Judy, is a bothersome to Millie, and Millie tries to, you know, give him advice about that. She does it in an abrasive way, but that's her own way of saying, like, I care about you, watch yourself, and try not to put yourself in a situation in which you can lose your job or even get hurt over. Even though it is New York and it's more progressive than the South, there's still a problem with interracial relationships. She's no filter. She has no filter. So she just says exactly what she thinks. And sometimes she don't necessarily cater to the audience so they can be the audience for us, like who she's talking to, so they could be more receptive. Millie walks into the room the first time she speaks with confidence, a little arrogance. She's a confident woman and she looks great. She loves makeup and nice clothes. She likes the finer things in life, materialistic, even lives above her means. Millie comes in the first act with a green dress that's tight until the waist and then it flows out. She has this three layer pearl necklace on, matching with her pearl bracelet, as well as a nice size ring on her wedding finger. Her hair is straight but wavy. It's wavy and pinned towards the back with a couple of pinned down curls on the right side of her forehead. These pearl pins on both sides as well. Her posture is, especially when she's in mixed company, is that she walks straight and very confident. She holds her head high and she sits pretty straight. I think she kind of relaxes a little bit when it's just Black people, kind of like it's a kind of a code switching thing that still happens now. She'll lean a little bit, but for the most part, she is a lady. She's always aware of crossing her legs at her ankle. You can hear her heels. In the first act, she has Black heels on. They're a little shorter. They're not as loud as the second act. So the second act, she comes in quietly-esque. Her presence is felt. There is a purple fitted dress. There's a V-neck in the front, and there's a brooch, an M brooch on the left side. That's really sparkly silver and rhinestone. There's a very, very beautiful silver rhinestone watch on her left wrist as well, and earrings. There are rhinestone earrings with a little pearl dangled at the bottom of that. No necklace this time because of the M brooch. So you don't want to do too much. That's going to be too much of a clash. Hair, similar to the first one, but it's pulled back even more. And it's actually a Black net over it, but you can't see it under the light. So it's kind of invisible. So it's still straight and wavy, but pulled back even more so. It doesn't move. It's just perfect. Same thing with how she walks as Millie. But then when she becomes Petunia, which is part of Chaos in Belleville, that's the play within the play. As Petunia, we call her Old Petunia. She's an older character, and also because of the time where Black people are to change their stance to be lesser than their white counterparts. So Petunia's hand is on her hip. She's hunched over and she talks like this. I definitely made her about 85 with some teeth missing. And she still had the same costume on as Millie, but the physicality is much slower. The eyes a little bit more wider. So Millie sounds like, hi. Well, don't look too hard. It ain't paid for. Oh, you got the job. Good for you. I don't care one way or the other because my husband doesn't want me working anyway. Petunia. They're after you. They told you about mixing in with Turner and not voting.
Hello, my name is Jordan Ashley Greer, and I play Judy Sears. You might have seen me before in Relentless, where I understudied Mary Elizabeth, both at Timeline and when it transferred to the Goodman. Judy is 22 years old. Relationships to other characters in the play. Judy definitely has a bit of a crush on John, who's another young actor in the show, and you kind of see their relationship start to develop. Another relationship she has in the show is with Al Manners, who's the director. Without spoiling anything, Al bullies Judy a little bit throughout the show. I am 5'6". I'm about 5'8" with the heels that I wear in the show. I am quite fair skinned, quite pale. My hair is a dark reddish brown. In the first act, it is up in a ponytail with bangs. And in the second act, it is down, still with bangs, and quite wavy. I don't have any facial hair. My posture, I sit and stand quite proper, quite upright, like how a young lady in the 50s was taught how to sit and stand. I move about the stage quite nervously. I fidget a lot. I play with my script that I have in my hand. I play with my fingers. I'll play with my hair or a pencil that I have in my hand. I'm quite nervous, particularly in Act One. Overall appearance. The design team really wanted to make me look like I had just graduated from college, which Judy just did. She graduated from the Yale School of Drama. And so I am wearing, in the first scene, a plaid skirt that goes to just below my knee, a button-up white blouse, and a blue cardigan with a scarf tied in my hair. So I really do look like I just graduated from school. And in the second act, they wanted Judy to have quite a dramatic transformation where she is trying to emulate her castmates. And so I am wearing a very nice suit. I am wearing pearls. I have my hair down and I have a dark red lip, kind of trying to fit in a little bit more. Crucial props. One of my favorite props that I have in Act One is a book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that Judy brings to rehearsal, and she ends up letting John borrow because, you know, she has a crush on John, so she's going to let him borrow the book. A couple non-spoiling lines of dialogue. So one of my lines, my voice tends to change throughout the show. One of my lines in the first act is, I finished the Yale drama course. Girls can go to Yale drama. And then one of the lines in the play within the play, where I have a southern accent, sounds quite a bit different. I'm thinking of Ruby and the others, even if you aren't. I don't want murder in this community.
Hi, my name is Tim Decker. I play Al Manners in Trouble in Mind. This is my second show at Timeline. I appeared in 2015 in a show called Spill. Other fairly recent shows that I've appeared in, I was Claudius in Hamlet at Chicago Shakespeare. Al Manners is roughly in his mid-40s, and he is the director of the play that all of these actors are assembling to rehearse. So he is the boss. He is roughly 6 feet tall. He's white in appearance, but has sort of a olive tone to his skin. Black hair with a little touch of gray at the temples. Stands up basically straight. He wears no facial hair, mustache, or beard of any kind. He moves around the room as someone with a lot of confidence would move. He is definitely in charge of this space. The costumes that I wear two different suits in the first and second act. They are business suits for the time with maybe a little extra flair. One is a rather bold plaid suit that I wear in the first act. The second is a cream-colored suit that I wear in the second act. I wear eyeglasses. I'm constantly carrying a binder that has the script for the play that we're rehearsing in it. And I am scribbling in the script, closing the script, slamming it, pounding on it as I feel necessary if I need to get people's attention. A couple of interesting lines that I have are, "Forget your old methods of work and go along with me. You must know what you are doing and why at all times. I will accept nothing less." And one of the common sounds that you'll hear coming from Al Manners is snapping his fingers. He snaps sometimes quickly to accentuate what he's saying. Other times he snaps very directly to get a person's attention or to admonish them.
Hello, my name is Adam Schalzi, and I play Eddie Fenton in Trouble in Mind. This is my Timeline debut, and some of my previous projects have been Lord of the Flies at Steppenwolf, 10 out of 12 at Theater Wit, The Diviners with Organic Theater, and I have been in episodes of NBC's Chicago Fire, The Chi on Showtime, Paper Girls, and Utopia on Amazon. My character Eddie is in his lower to mid-20s, a year or two out of undergrad college. Eddie went to college for theater and studied stage management and production. Eddie is the stage manager for Chaos in Belleville, the play within the play. He is a close assistant to the director of Chaos in Belleville, Al Manners. He tries to do his best to keep Al happy and to impress him with his stage management skills. Eddie has never worked with any actor from the Chaos in Belleville cast, but is excited to be working on Broadway with this talented group. He is enamored with them and wants them all to like him. I have good posture when I'm walking around and when I'm sitting in a chair in the first act. In the second act, I sit on a stool and I'm a little more hunched over as I read and write at my desk. I have larger blue eyes and expressive and large facial expressions. I have a lot of energy and move quickly, walk quickly, sometimes a slow jog, and I also smile a lot. I look educated and smart with my dark brown, round plastic-rimmed glasses. I am about 5'10" tall, I have white fair skin, dirty blonde hair color that has a 1950s style. It is parted on my right side and slicked to the side with pomade and hairspray. It looks a little wet and shiny from the hair product, and you can see the individual streaks made from combing it to the side. My hair lies pretty flat against my head and off of my forehead. In the first act, my brown pants are baggy and my gray suit jacket is form-fitting. I wear a long-sleeved white dress shirt with a navy blue tie. Over the shirt and tie, I wear a light brown sweater vest that has horizontal geometrical patterns made up of dark browns and various shades of blue. The suit jacket is on top of the sweater vest and never taken off. I wear the same style of clothing in the second act, except a darker version of everything. Darker brown pants, darker gray suit jacket, a dark navy blue sweater vest with horizontal patterns, and a navy blue tie. I wear the same white dress shirt, the same brown dress shoes, and in both acts, I have a white handkerchief that sticks out of my top left jacket pocket. When I enter in the first act, I am carrying a black leather binder that has the Chaos in Belleville script and production packets. I also have a 3D set design rendering that is about 1 foot long by 6 inches wide and a couple inches tall. It is a miniature version of the set with tables, chairs, and miniature people, all made out of paper. When I am seated at the table, I am always taking notes with a pencil and a yellow legal pad. I am also looking at the Chaos in Belleville script to follow the dialogue and making sure actors are saying the correct lines. At the beginning of the second act, I have my own desk isolated from the main stage area. On it is a table lamp, a red coffee mug with water in it, a white coffee mug with pencils in it, and a large audio tape player from the 1950s. The player turns on and off the applause sound effect for when the character Bill O'Ray does his opening second act speech. It is heavy, made of metal, about the size of a shoebox. It is a tan color with clear plastic audio tape spools on top, with brown audio tape wound around the spools. When you hear the trumpet playing to Sheldon's song in the second act, that is Eddie playing. In the second act, I continue to write in my yellow legal pad and read and take notes in my Chaos in Belleville script that is in my black leather binder, except this time I am seated at my own desk towards the back on the left side of the stage. Some of my lines are, "I didn't know. You asked my opinion. Okay, I admit, you were right, you were." And, "I have my own apartment. It's only a cold water walk-up, but I have it fixed real nice like the magazine show you."
Hello, my name's Guy Van Swearingen, and I'm playing the character of Bill O'Ray. I'm also playing the character of Mr. Renard for the play Within the Play. You may have seen me last down at the Court Theater in a production of Arsenic and Old Lace, where I portrayed the role of Dr. Einstein. This is my Timeline Theater debut. Again, my character name is Bill O'Ray, and he's listed as in his mid-50s, and he is characterized as a soap opera actor. I'm 5'9", I have fair skin, and I am slightly balding, so for this production, I'll be wearing a wig, which is exciting because I don't always get to wear a wig, and it's a big full head of hair. And then I'll also be sporting a mustache, my own facial hair, which goes to the corners of my mouth. It's full, it's not bushy, but it's full. I think as Bill O'Ray, I'm a little nervous, and as Mr. Renard, I'm a little bit forthright and driven. My overall appearance is that I wear one suit in the play, and it's a aquamarine or teal blue sort of colored suit. It's a tailored suit. It fits well. I dress well. I'm successful as a soap opera actor and as an actor in general. I get a lot of work. And I do wear eyeglasses when I stop to read a trade paper. And also when we're working on the play within the play, I wear my eyeglasses for the script there. And then a couple of lines of dialogue. Let's see. As Bill O'Ray, as I said, he's a bit nervous, and he sounds something like this. I don't know. I think maybe if I tried to apologize, it wouldn't work out so well, so I'm not going to apologize at all. But I could be wrong. So that's the character of Bill O'Ray. And then as Mr. Renard, he's a little bit more sure of himself, and he's of a Southern bent. My friends, if all the world were just, there'd be no need for valor.
Thanks for listening to the pre-show notes for Trouble in Mind. We do hope you enjoyed the show, and please come back again soon.